grisly one.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back.
As yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, takes you home on the drive home at 5. And this song specifically played for Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus White Shoes Vance. I always hated, despised, loathed this guy. A product of different kind of nepotism that we generally see in politics. You know, normally it's your son or your daughter who is elevated. In this case, it was Morgenthau. Seemed like he was DA for life in Manhattan. Perfect example of why you need term limits. And then he reached out to Seattle, you know, the latte sippers there, and chose Cyrus White Shoes Vance, who probably had a pumpkin spice latte or a Java chip frappuccino in his hand from Starbucks. And he was anointed the DA. He is running for re-election a third term. He has nobody competing against him. And he's raising money for a campaign. But that's not why we're talking about him. We're talking about him because he may have dropped a case against Ivanka and Donald Jr. in 2013 because of the intervention done by the attorney for the president, Donald Trump, on the line to discuss it. Larry McShane, great gumshoe reporter for New York's hometown newspaper, The Daily News. Thanks for joining us again, Larry, on the drive home at 5.
Thanks for having me, Curtis. I appreciate it.
Okay, so what was the investigation about and when was it?
The investigation dated to 2010. Ivanka, as you mentioned, and Donald Jr. were running a Trump project in Manhattan, which was called the Trump Soho. According to the reports that came out, there were emails, sounds familiar, emails that implicated both of them in suggesting that this new project had a much higher occupancy rate than it did, which made it sound like it was a hotter property. As it turned out, at a very low occupancy rate. And an investigation was launched into this. It's a violation of the law to illegally advertise what's going on in your building.
All right. We know that that's done quite a bit in the real estate industry. But anytime you involve somebody with a last name Trump, Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump Jr., it's going to attract a lot of attention. So what did Cyrus White Shoes Vance do with that investigation?
Well, here's the interesting part. Mark Kasowitz, who's the attorney, longtime attorney for President Trump, had made a $25,000 campaign contribution to Vance before the 2013 election. He was able to secure a one-on-one meeting with Vance in May of 2012. Now, at the time, Vance gave back the contribution, saying that it would be a violation, a conflict, to have any negotiations with a guy who had given him a campaign contribution. Subsequently to that, the charges were dropped against Ivanka and Donald Jr. And subsequent to that, in January of 2013, there was almost a $32,000 donation from the lawyer to the Vance reelection campaign 4 years ago when he was running for his second term.
Now, what's interesting, Larry, is he's accepting donations in races in which he is almost never challenged by any other party. What does he use these campaign dollars for since he never has to debate an opponent, never has to run against an opponent? I mean, this year is a perfect example. When you go to vote in Manhattan for the DA's position, you'll see Cyrus White Shoes Vance, Democrat. He maybe has some other minor party affiliates who have endorsed him, and you won't see any other name. What is he using all these campaign dollars for?
Yeah, I don't know, but you make an excellent point. I mean, I think Leslie Crocker Snyder was the only sort of legitimate candidate, for lack of a better term, who's run against him. The second part to this thing is that even though they returned this $31,000 after the donation became public, they still accepted $9,000 in donations from employers at Kasowitz's law firm, and they took another $9,000 that was raised at a breakfast hosted in 2013 by Kasowitz.
Huh. And what became of the investigation? Did Cyrus White choose Vance? And remember, a DA can indict a ham sandwich. Did he decide to move forward with it, or did it suddenly disappear?
Well, according to the story, which was a combined effort by WNYC, ProPublica, and The New Yorker, Vance decided not to go forward with the investigation, despite the recommendation of prosecutors who thought they could make the case.
Wow. So his own investigators in the Manhattan District Attorney's office, after doing due diligence, said, we got enough evidence here to press charges against Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr. And Cyrus White Shoes Vance on his own decided to side against his own investigators?
Yeah. According to the story that was done, and this is a quote from the story, the Trump children approved, knew of, agreed to, and intentionally inflated the numbers to make more sales.
Wow, this is incredible, Larry. Now, is the U.S. Attorney's Office of the Southern District, are they looking into this? Because this seems like a case of a quid pro quo. You scratch my belly, I scratch yours on the part of Cyrus White Shoes Vance and Trump's lawyer, who clearly did an intervention on behalf of his children.
Yeah, Kasowitz issued a statement saying that, you know, there is no quid pro quo. The DA's office pointed out that there was a two-year investigation prior to this, and they maintained that it failed to produce enough evidence for a criminal prosecution.
Now, we haven't heard from the state attorney general, Schneiderman, have we?
No, I haven't heard any reaction from any other prosecutors to this.
Now, this would be interesting. This is like prosecutorial immunity. Whereas normally a guy like Schneiderman was like a pit bull. You know, you can't stop him when it comes to anything involving Trump. He'd like to see Trump in jail, or the U.S. Attorney's Office, you know, they're constantly going after headlines. I guess in this case, Cyrus White Shoes Vance has prosecutorial immunity.
Well, there was another weird twist in this case, too, which is the buyers at the Trump Soho filed a lawsuit as well to get their money back. They reached a settlement with the Trumps, and as part of that settlement, the defendants agreed not to testify for the district attorney unless they were subpoenaed. So that's kind of a very unusual legal codicil as well, you know?
Yeah, and then when you look at recently, there was the Trump family trying to sell condos over in Jersey City.
Yeah, the Kushner thing, right.
Right, and then appealing to the Red Chinese, you know, offering them special visas, and if they could invest in the project, you know, they'd be in like Flynn. You're saying, wow, these Trumps, they really know how to manipulate the system, don't they?
Well, I mean, the Jersey City case, is, as you know, it was a situation, too, where there was some gerrymandering of district lines, which was going to allow them to get some benefits as if they were building in a low-income area.
Oh, and by the way, Larry McShane, I see this story just off the wire. The target of the investigation, one of them, Donald Trump Jr., by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus White Shoes Vance, who decided not to prosecute, he's going to make $100,000 for giving a speech, which will be closed to you members of the media. Did you ever think that Donald Trump Jr. would be worth $100,000 for a speech?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I believe there was a lot of carping about Hillary Clinton speaking before Goldman Sachs without the press there prior to this administration's installation. So maybe what goes around comes around, huh?
Yeah, I guess it's do as I say, but not as I do. Wow, this case stinks to high heavens. Cyrus White Shoes Vance, who's been a product of nepotism of a different type, chosen personally by Morgenthau, district attorney for life, the perfect poster child for term limits, is corrupt right down to the marrow of his bone. I'm telling you straight up, he's running for re-election. He has no adversaries. He's out there whining, dining, and pocket lining. I want to know, where is that money going? What kind of a campaign is he running? Is he having any debates? Is he having any coffee, sit-down chats with the voters? The answer is absolutely jack-diddly-squat not. And very rich individuals host regular soirees for Cyrus White Shoes fans. You think that's to influence him so that he doesn't come knocking with the indictment at their door? This stinks to high heaven. Where's the U.S. Attorney of the Southern District? Hey, Schneiderman, Attorney General of the state, you're always running after Trumps, but it's your pal, Cyrus White Shoes Vance, here that would be the target of your investigation, so it's no mas, no mas. The system needs a political colonic of the worst type.
Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It was a courageous thing to do, but someone was already here. In 1492,
there's already this nursery rhyme that we all grew up with. What was it, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa, and the Maria, and then the Maria sunk, so they remained the surviving ship, the third one, the Santa Maria. I don't know. But anyway, there's a lot more focus on the upcoming main Christopher Columbus Day parade up Fifth Avenue on Monday, the national holiday. There are a number of other parades that are taking place throughout our tri-state area, but the focus is naturally on that one. And the New York Post front page story today that has NYPD patrolling the Columbus statue on 59th Street, Columbus Circle, 24/7, 365. On the line to discuss it, Republican lawmaker, city councilman from Staten Island, Joe Borelli. Thanks for joining us again on the Drive Home at 5, Joe.
Thank you very much for having me, Curtis. Appreciate it. And as you know, it's a topic I love talking about.
Well, I remember you conducted a press conference with other Italian-Americans at the time when this mayor, de Blasio, decided to impanel a Blue Ribbon Commission to look at statues, memorials, commemorations that might be hateful, with potentially their eventual removal sometimes after mm-hmm. the general election. And one of those targeted, obviously, were the Christopher Columbus statues in the city, the main one being 59th Street Columbus Circle. So the fact that the NYPD is patrolling that 24/7, is that a good thing in your eyes?
Look, I think it's a good thing that we have enough police resources that we can be, in fairness, SRG unit has been in Columbus Circle for a while. There's a Trump building there. There's the CNN office building there. But the fact that we have to take on this new role of even watching the statue that has just been standing there for the last 129 years is a little bit absurd, but it goes to show you what a bunch of politicians with a negative message about Christopher Columbus and who can convince some of these liberals to do acts of vandalism can actually do.
Well, yesterday on this very program, The Drive Home at 5, we spoke to Tony Signorelli, who is the mm-hmm. chairman of the annual Morris Park Bronx Christopher Columbus Parade, which takes place this Sunday right on the corner of White Plains Road and Morris Park Avenue at 12 noon. He has disinvited the mayor. Should parade chairman throughout the city disinvite the mayor at some of the other smaller parades in the outer boroughs?
Yeah.
And especially the main parade?
I think 100%. Look, if I was anti-Israel, if I believed in the BDS movement, I would be shocked if I still got an invitation to the Israel Day Parade. If I was a Mets fan, who wanted to tell the world that the Yankees stink, I wouldn't be invited to the Yankees ticker tape parade. It's absurd that when someone is speaking out against not just the symbol of Italian Americanism in our country, but the very namesake of the parade itself, I don't think we should be surprised at all when the mayor was disinvited. And more so, I don't think we should be surprised to hear that so many celebrities backed out of attending his Gracie Mansion fete this week to signify October Italian American Month. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, in fact, that's taking place tonight at Gracie Mansion, the Italian Heritage Gathering. I know that Joe Piscopo has opted out. I believe the actor from Bronx Tale, has opted out, Chas Palminteri, and other noted Italian-Americans. By the way, did he extend an invitation to you, Councilman Borelli?
He did. And in fact, the city council hosted an event ourselves, and the speaker made her just a basically ceremonial entrance and exit, and I think it was appreciated that she left as quick as possible. But there were some people who didn't want to come to our event, and I give my friend Joe Gagliardo, who's the friend, who's the president of the National Council of Columbia Association, he made it a point to come and receive his award so he can tell the speaker to her face why Columbus deserved to, the Statue of Columbus deserved to stay. So there's, I guess there's two schools of thought, and I certainly understand both.
All right. Now, I know in Staten Island, your home borough, they have a three-day huge event to honor Italian heritage and Christopher Columbus. That's, I think, at Mount Loreto. It starts Friday, goes all day Saturday, Sunday. Do you have any idea if the mayor has been invited to that event? Because obviously, you know, politicians are going to be trying to be seen in as many different public events before the November 7th election.
I think Mayor de Blasio would receive quite a few, probably more Bronx cheers if he showed up at our parade, at our festival, than if he did the Bronx parade. You know, that said, Vinny Ignizio, who my predecessor, and you know him, he's a gracious guy. I'm sure he extends the invitation to everybody. But I'd be surprised if Mayor de Blasio showed up. I wouldn't be surprised to see Nicole Malliotakis and Sal Albanese and Bo Deal there, because all three of them have been, you know, collectively unanimous in the right position that not Columbus, but so many of our statues should remain up.
And then finally, Councilman Borelli, Dan Donovan, the congressman that represents your area, come on these airwaves and suggested if, in fact, this Blue Ribbon Commission chooses to do away with the Christopher Columbus statue at 59th Street Columbus Circle, he thinks that you guys can provide a home in federal parkland in Staten Island. Is that something you would encourage if they decided to abolish or demolish the statue in Columbus Circle?
Well, I'll phrase it this way. I will fight to the death in the courts to preserve Christopher Columbus statue. And I would even fight for so many other people whose statues are being threatened. But if the last in the last breath we can't save the statue, the mayor doesn't back down, I think the people of Staten Island will be proud to have it on Staten Island, whether it's down on the South Shore where I live with as many Italian Americans, or even maybe somewhere closer to Borough Hall and our civic and local government centers. I would love it.
Do appreciate that, Councilman Borelli of Staten Island. By the way, I will be at the Mount Loreto celebration of Italian heritage in Christopher Columbus on Saturday with Guardian Angels and the mayoral candidate I'm supporting as the New York State Reform Party chairman, Sal Albanese, who's from Staten Island, lives there now. You should all come out. It's a great event. A lot of focus on Italian heritage and Italian contributions. And I think I'm going to go to the Christopher Columbus Parade on Monday. I think, at Ken Duffy, this is going to shock you. I think I'm going to take off on Monday.
What? To go to it? No
way. Yeah, no, I'll come back through the drive.
Hit the breaking news sound.
But I want to hear the crowd boo this mayor from both sides of Fifth Avenue. And I am going to be like the cast character of Mayan on both sides, you know, as the mayor's walking by, urging everyone, boo, boo, boo.
The boo maestro.
What a fake, phony, fraudulent, fugazi Italian-American. I always knew he was Kaiser von Wilhelm.
Curtis Sliwa.
The next mayor of the city of New York.
Drive at 5.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New Yorker.
77 WABC.
Classic Green Day song. Do you want to be an American idiot? Is that really what Tillerson, the Secretary of State, was referring to when he was in a meeting and, according to news reports, referred to our president as a moron? Well, anyway, Tillerson came out and addressed the media reports first about him possibly being so upset with the president after he spoke at the Boy Scouts Jamboree, of which Tillerson used to be the president when he was at ExxonMobil. He was so put off by that, he was planning to leave the State Department.
The vice president has never had to persuade me to remain as Secretary of State because I have never considered leaving this post.
And then there was the thought that in a meeting he had referred to the president as a moron.
I'm not going to deal with petty stuff like that. I mean, this is what I don't understand about Washington. Again, you know, I'm not from this place, but the places I come from, we don't deal with that kind of petty nonsense. And it is intended to do nothing but divide people. And I'm just not going to be part of this effort to divide this administration.
Did he answer the question? I don't think he did. Did you or did you not call him a moron? Then, all of a sudden, the president, getting all bent out of shape, blamed it all on fake news.
Yeah, I'm very honored by his comments. It was fake news. It was a totally phony story. Thank you very much. It was made up. It was made up by NBC. They just made it up. Thank you all. Thank you. Total confidence in Rex. I have total confidence.
And then afterwards, the presidential spokesperson, Sarah Huckleberry, came out and said, specious.
This is a petty, ridiculous accusation. And frankly, I think it's beneath the Secretary of State to weigh in on every rumor out there. His spokesperson, however, did come out and clarified that the Secretary of State had never used those words.
On the line to discuss it, as he has many times before, Jeffrey Lord, former CNN political commentator, before they whacked him unceremoniously. He's obviously constantly writing for the American Spectator and Conservative Review. And there's no bigger Trumper in the United States than Jeffrey Lord. Thanks for jumping back on board, Jeff.
Hello there, Curtis. How are we?
Well,
it's actually been a pretty dismal week here. So, man, a conversation about something like this is, believe it or not, a relief.
No, you're absolutely right. But knowing as you do the president, and the many people he surrounded himself, many of them he never really knew before in his cabinet, if somebody were hypothetically to refer to him as a moron, a stunad, an imbecile, an idiot, do you think that he would have a conversation with that person and try to mend their differences? Or would he use his classic statement that made him a reality star in America, you're fired?
I think it depends on the circumstances. If he thinks the guy is genuine, I think he'd be fine. I think he likes Rex Tillerson. I think he has a lot of respect for him. This whole North Korea thing, watching them, it reminds me of the sort of good cop, bad cop sort of deal here. I think there's probably more going on there between the secretary and the president than meets the eye. So this I can tell you, having been around Washington, is typical. The way Washington works, that some cabinet officer or White House staff member says something, you know, that they think is off the cuff or it's just not thought out, and they just say it, and the next thing you know, they're in the papers and they're trying to explain themselves. I have no idea whether he said it or not. The president says it's made up. Lord only knows there have been our share of made up stories out there, but I don't know, but it seems to me that things are fine.
Now, you've been a member of the media for many, many years. The president, coming off of that statement about NBC's report being fake news, has now said, tweeted, that he wants the U.S. Senate to probe fake news networks. Boy, that sounds a little dangerous to me.
Well, I don't think it's as dangerous as the Obama administration. You know, last night I was at this event in Washington and met James Rosen from Fox News. And let us recall that the Obama administration sicked the Department of Justice on James and his family to look into his emails and all that. I mean, it's pretty frightening stuff. And they also went after, what's his name? I think his name is James Risen from the New York Times with the Justice Department, et cetera. And Mr. Risen from the New York Times said that the Obama administration was one of the worst, if not the worst, in terms of dealing with the press and a danger to a free press. I don't think anything the president has said here is that dangerous. I think he's probably just trying to light a fire under NBC, and the folks at CNN can feel relieved for a while.
Now, the big story coming out of the White House today is that the president plans to decertify the Iranian nuclear deal, but that does not abolish it. That just hands the ultimate decision on what to do to Congress. Wouldn't it have been a lot better if he just said, that's it, no more deal with Iran?
Maybe. I think he's probably trying to be a little cautious here. There are nuclear weapons involved. But I think, I mean, he's absolutely right. Curtis, you look back at history. I love history and love to read history. I mean, this is the same old mentality from the Obama administration that we saw with Neville Chamberlain, that we saw with Bill Clinton in North Korea. That, you know, if we're just nice to these folks, These things won't happen. And if we just trust the North Koreans and make this deal, they won't get nuclear weapons. Well, now here we are a few presidents later, and we're dealing with North Korea having nuclear weapons. President Trump thinks this was a lousy deal. And I think it was premised on the same thing that President Obama dealt with and President Clinton dealt with. Exactly the same mentality here, that if you just try to get along with these folks, then everything will be all right. Everything is not going to be all right. These people are not going to be honest. They're going to cheat. And I think the president's aware of this, and he's dealing with it as best he can.
Now, Jeffrey Lord, finally, on Tuesday, the president touched down with his wife in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and his staff to speak to the people of Puerto Rico and to look at the devastation up close and personal. There was that moment he was in a church in which he decided to play Mr. Whipple and start throwing paper rolls of paper towels into the crowd. Jeffrey, you would have to acknowledge that was not necessarily the best optics for the president of the United States.
I think we need to lighten up here. I mean, these are people who've been through absolute hell down there. It's good that he was there. They had plenty of people there before the hurricane even touched down. They're doing their job down there, and I think he was trying to be a little playful and bring a little humor to it. But, I mean, when people are in such a dreadful, dreadful situation here, you want to do your best to help them, and sometimes a little humor is good.
Now, when the president makes these road trips, like he did to Vegas yesterday, like he did to Puerto Rico the day before, is there a shot caller? Is there somebody who's side by side with him who tries to guide him and put him into the best possible position?
Yes, I can tell you that from experience. I mean, I've even participated in that. When the president of the United States, no matter whom that may be, goes out on these trips, particularly the ones that are sudden, you know, because of some event, something that's happened out there, all of a sudden the location is just descended upon by the Secret Service, by White House staff. And they do everything they can to sort of, you know, figure out what's going to happen, what the president's schedule is going to be, who he's going to see, where the cameras are going to be positioned, et cetera. It's very elaborate. You never see this on camera, but it is very elaborate and it's very standard.
Well, you know, Jeffrey Lord, I'm happy, though, that the president did not mouth out as he was throwing out those bounty paper towels. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
He's got a good sense of humor, and he's a charming man, and he is very sensitive, and he clearly is sensitive to what was happening in Puerto Rico, and he wasn't thrilled with all the negative press just at this point, the press is just dumping on him all the time because they like to.
But can you declaratively tell us, were they real bounty paper towels or the knockoffs that they sell at the 99-cent Jack stores and the dollar stores?
That's a good question, and we may have to get an independent counsel to figure that out.
Yep, I think so. You know, first is Russian collusion, and then what kind of paper towels was he tossing into that crowd? Anyway, it's Jeffrey Lord. You remember when he used to be a nightly fixture with Anderson Cooper on CNN until they unceremoniously put two bullets to the back of his head. But he's always welcome here on the Drive Home at 5.
Curtis Lewa.
Really trying to help our cause.
The Drive at 5.
We're really honored to have him here today.
77 WABC.
Hi, 54. This music by 50 Cent, a.k.a. Curtis Jackson, here on the Drive Home at 5, means that we're going to have a We Be Thuggin' update. It's about thug life in the Bronx. Let me take you back a week. You remember the situation at what they call the Urban Assembly School for Wildlife Conservation, south of the Bronx Zoo. What a name. How do you fit that onto a sweater or a jacket? You know, what school do you go to? Dewey Clinton? You know, I go to Monroe. I go to Roosevelt. No, I go to the Urban Assembly School for Wildlife Conservation. And they claim it's a a normal school. Get out of here. It's a 600 school for troubled youth. And you saw in that situation in a history class, Cedeno, age 18, took out a shiv, stabbed Matthew McCree to death, who had been harassing him along with his friend who came to his aid, mortally, well, not mortally, but seriously wounded him. And then you may have seen at the start of this week that Cedeno was supposed to be brought down into Bronx Criminal Court, but all the thugs were out there sitting in the pews wearing T-shirts in honor of their fallen friend Matthew McCree, and he wouldn't come down because he knew it was thug life. And then outside, all of these gangbangers started throwing gang signs, Latin Kings, Bloods, Crips. And the New York Post reporter asked Sanford Rubenstein, you know, he's the slip and fall lawyer, 1-800-ABOGADO. He started that whole nonsense. He's representing the mother of Matthew McCree, suing the city for like gazillions of dollars for not having metal detectors at the Urban Assembly School for Wildlife Conservation. He said, gang signs, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, more thug life emerged today at another school, a junior high school, a middle school, in which there were no metal detectors. Let me take you to the location in the Allerton section. It's Bronx Green Junior High School. Kid walks in. He's busted for possessing an unloaded .22 handgun. He tells his friend, I need it because I'm getting bullied. The friend drops dime on him and talks to one of the adult male teachers, who then does an intervention, grabs him. A security comes who is overseen by the New York City Police Department, and they grab him, and he's arrested. Now, it's amazing that he got arrested, because in Bill de Blasio's Department of Education, the acronym stands for Dumbest Organization Ever, they frown on students being arrested. In fact, it is still Comrade Bill de Blasio's contention, your mayor, not mine, I didn't vote for him, that the city schools should be stripped of metal detectors. Hey, would you wake up and smell the Medallia coffee? There are problems in the schools in the blackboard jungle of the public schools you're in charge of, and you need metal detectors now more than ever before. Schmuck, don't make that putz.